tired this morning, Cole, or this afternoon. I guess it's 12:06. I just woke up. I mean, yeah, whatever. It was a crazy night last night. It was absolutely nuts. There were so many important basketball games rolling that I'm recording things, going back and forth. It was crazy. And one of those huge games, this was a good one. Great game last night. The UNC Bears back in Big Sky Conference action, taking on Portland State. And it was a nail biter coming down to the stretch there. We'll get into, you know, the clip and everything with Matt Johnson. But joining us now, first and foremost, UNC men's basketball coach, head coach Steve Smiley. Coach, it's just good to see Bears basketball back in action this week, man. We got to see two games back in action.
Yeah, it sure is, Brady, and appreciate you having me on the show. But just being able to get back in the gym and being able to play and trying to finish our season out, it's been great. So it's been a good week for sure.
You guys had control of this game, but as we see, and you know, it's college basketball. Anything can happen. You never give up. I never stop watching a college basketball game. I don't care if it's 30-point lead, 40-point lead, whatever. You guys were running this thing, but Portland State made a monster push late, and I think Bears fans were getting a little nervous there. How crucial was that? Matt Johnson, my goodness. Matty Ice now, that's what we got the nickname going. I mean, that what a huge shot late in that game.
Huge shot. I was nervous too, man. Not just the fans. I mean, it's when they got down to that play. I think it was about 37 seconds left, and they cut it to three. And I think that score stuck on 64-61. We were up for about the last 2 minutes. Nobody could score. We got good looks. They got good looks, and you know we had to get one more stop. And in that last possession, we were switching everything, and we did a great job actually. And you know, Coor got switched up on their point guard. Forced him into a tough three. He didn't make it, and it was almost like the rebound, the Miami Heat and the San Antonio Spurs in Game 6, where there was that rebound that bounced around, and the ball spit out to Ray Allen for that three.
Mm.
And so we got the stop. The ball was bubbling around. You know, it hit everyone's hands. No one could secure it. They got it. They threw it to the opposite corner for a three for really their best shooter. And the kid hit the three. Give him credit. And so now it's a tie game. I think it was the first tie that we'd had. It was a close game. It was the first tie we'd had since, you know, early in the game. And for us to, you know, one, it's funny, like, everyone's like, oh, good job dropping that play. So, man, I was just trying to drop something to get us across half court with all that pressing. And, you know, we did a good job. We got it in. We got it across half court. And then just, you know, really, you know, putting Matt in the middle of the court with Bodie. Obviously, Bodie commands so much attention. And Bodie was ready, depending on how they guarded, to knock down the shot, too. But, you know, Matt took what the defense gave him. And he hit a huge shot, and that was great.
Yeah, it was a big win too. Getting to see you guys back in action on Monday, and then starting resuming Big Sky play. I mean, Coach, what does that mean? I mean, nobody knows what to expect when you're off like this, and we've seen this with pretty much every basketball team in the country. So no one really knows what to expect, especially when you get in a moment like that late in the game. You're getting the rust shaken off, but it's still these late game situations. We saw it with the Nuggets last night too. The late game situations can make or break a team. So what was that like for you personally, Coach, just to get back in the swing of things this week and grab two wins while you're at it? I know we still got tomorrow, but getting a couple of wins under your belt, getting back in action.
Yeah, you're right. You know, you kind of go back to that late game situation. But yeah, I mean, you know, we've had so many close games, even just since Christmas, that, you know, we've won some, we've lost some, and you know, you look at the losses and you're frustrated, but then you know every game in this league could come down to the last one or two plays. And so for us to execute that, I thought was really good. And, you know, having a 24-day pause, I mean, we had 24 days between games, and really basically the whole month of February. And so even going to the game on Monday, you don't really know what to expect. And I think that our guys, when we finally got back, it was, you know, three guys and then five guys. And we had eight, we had nine, we had 11. We still don't have our full 16. But to finally have enough guys to compete and play, we've had some tremendous practices. Our guys got their edge. They've done a nice job, and I think it showed on the court in both those games. So it's just fun to be able to get back to this before the season wraps up.
It's just so strange. Again, UNC men's basketball coach joining us, Coach Steve Smiley. It's so strange because with these pauses, and like I said, we've seen it with everybody, It almost just feels like you're in limbo. Me as a fan, I'm like, wait, aren't we in basketball season? When do the Bears play? I can't imagine how that is for you guys, because we all know college sports, any sport at that next level, college level, pro level, it's all about repetition. It's about your program, your you know, everything that you do on a daily basis, a weekly basis, and then everything's just kind of thrown out of whack. I mean, that had to be like triple for you guys.
You're right. It's pretty much been that all year long. And, I think limbo is the right word. You know, you could think that you're playing a game, get to the game, and who knows, maybe a referee tests positive and they got to shut the game down. I mean, that's happened all across the country in terms of COVID. And, you know, it's just every time that you got to go take your COVID test, I mean, there's always a possibility that test doesn't come out, you know, in the right direction. And we've experienced that ourselves. So it's really goofy, and I think this goes back to being grateful for any opportunity to play and compete. And it's hard to say, well, you just have to take the season with a grain of salt because there's not as much preparation. That's great, but at the same point, when you're out there, I mean, you're trying to win, and all that other stuff kind of goes to the side. So, long story short, it's been good, and we have another tremendous challenge coming up against Portland State again, but it's definitely been a good start to the week.
And we've seen this, too, with a lot of conferences that are doing this, Coach, where you play a team, two nights later you're playing that same team. And you've said it, everybody's saying the same thing, that if you win that game one, you better be ready because they are coming at you in that game two. And it just seems like it's a little more intense than a normal – even though you're normally playing these guys twice anyway, there's something to it playing them back-to-back.
Totally, yeah. It's totally different than that normal year where – you know, you might play somebody in late December that you don't play them again until middle February. And to go from that to going to playing, you know, two times in really less than 48 hours, 36 hours of the game being at noon on Saturday, we've experienced it where it's a lot different. And against anybody, like you said, you know, you better be ready to go. But I think especially with Portland State, they've had really good game twos. And the way they play, with all the pressing, trapping, crashing the offensive glass with five guys, you know, they're not going to change their system or anything. And you've got to, I think in game two, it's what's hard is the mental and the physical side of it. It's hard to say, okay, guys, you have to go do this again. You have to go break that press again for 40 minutes. You got to go, you know, block out at the highest level you've done all year because they're going to crash. And if you can do those, you're going to get layups and runouts. But if you don't, it's going to be a problem. And that's where I think if, you know, for the fans that at least looked at Portland State's game scores, wildly different. Some games against the same opponent. Game one, maybe they win by 7. Game two, they lose by 25. Or game one, they lose by 20. Game two, they win by 10. They've had some wild swings. So that's for our guys to say, hey, let's not think we figured this thing out here. Like, we're going to have to be ready to go at even a higher level of intensity.
Yeah, no question about it. It's been, like I said, it's been fun for fans, but probably more stressful for you guys. Coach, talk to us a little bit about Kuwar Jokuch. What a fun player to watch. Watching him progress, and again, that progression, like I said, it was like everything was in limbo for a little bit, but seeing him come down, 11 points, monster on the boards, and it just seems like every game he's just getting a better feel, getting his body in there and finding ways to get rebounds.
Yeah, and, you know, Kuwar's still just so young in the game in the grand scheme of things. You know, he's a kid that started really playing competitively in his last 2 years of high school. So he's only been playing competitively for about 4 or 5 years now, which is amazing to what he's doing. But it's a testament to his work ethic, and he's a really smart player, too. He's a tough player, he's a smart player, and he's worked really hard. And so, you know, with Kuwar last night, I think the biggest thing is that I think that's probably a career high in minutes, played 36 minutes last night. And, you know, at that tempo and that pace with all the pressing and trapping and up and down and being able to play without, you know, many breaks and then at the same point in time to rebound at that level was amazing. I think it's the best game he's played for us, maybe ever. I think it's probably the best game of his career. And still there's another level he can get to, and he knows that as well. But he was tremendous, and I think he really set a tone from a toughness standpoint, too, which is important against Portland State.
How difficult was, again, the pause presents different problems for every team. There can be a team that's smoking hot. They win six in a row. They got to go on a pause, and they think, well, that kind of knocked us off of our streak, our rhythm there.
Yeah.
And you, Coach, of course, this being your first year as head coach for the Bears, getting into that rhythm, finding yourselves as a team, you mentioned it. I mean, just getting everybody back, it's a weird year. How difficult was that for you, those challenges that presented themselves for you? You guys are trying to figure it out. You're getting a few wins here. You're rolling, and then suddenly you gotta take the pause.
It was really hard. You know, and obviously it's been, you know, documented. I came down with COVID-19 myself. And so you go through this isolation, and then even after that, you know, we were kind of in just not able to do much for a while. And you get out of routine. And what was so good, even if, you know, the reason we scheduled that game on Monday, which I think was one of the smartest things we've done, is that the routine of it, the habit of it, you know, having a game day practice, having preparation, having a scout, having a team meal, having the timing of getting to the gym, having a warm up. But I think the worst thing we could have done is just say, okay, Portland State's our first game back, which would have been about a 30-day break, and to say, okay, you haven't played for 30 days, let's go play Portland State, who's won six of their last seven games, and they want to get up and down and play crazy and wild. That would have been really hard when you compound that with, oh, here's just the basic habit of a game day. Here's when the meal is. Here's when the practice is. Here's when you got to get to the gym. You know, all that little stuff, it really adds up. So it was difficult. I mean, our first few days back, we had like four kids, five kids, and we're doing – it felt like it was summer skill workouts. It wasn't about any preparation. It was about getting guys back in shape and getting their skill level up, which is great too. But it didn't feel like late February, and so it's been a challenge for sure.
Now, Coach, when I first heard that, of course, wish you the best, and glad you're feeling better, glad this team is feeling better. Three more left, at least on the schedule. I have to ask, even if it's an obvious, are we expecting any more games, any makeup games or anything like that?
No, I mean, our schedule is pretty condensed now. You've got the Portland State game, and then next week, normal setting with Weber State Thursday, Saturday, and then we leave for the Big Sky Tournament the following Monday. So there's no more time for games to get made up, so long as we at least have these and keep it rolling.
Yeah, you look at this, you got, like you said, Portland State, that's going to be a battle on Saturday.
Yep.
And then Weber State to finish this thing out, and we know Weber State's what, I think 15-5, 10-3 in the conference, so a very good basketball team. You look at that and go, man, we want that. We want one of the top teams in the conference right before we get into the tournament.
I think so, absolutely. And I think just, you know, now that the heightened intensity of, you know, every game matters for seeding and, you know, kind of getting the right position, and who knows, I mean, some of those things you can and some of those things you can't control. But I do think going into a place like Weber, our guys are going to be excited about that. Right now, they haven't lost a game at home all year, which is what a great opportunity to go in there and compete and really keep your edge right before the Big Sky tournament. I don't think we could ask for a better situation.
Well, Coach, I'm pumped. I can't wait. I can't wait for these next three games, but I'm really looking forward to how you guys do in the tournament. And it's good to have you back, Coach. We're glad you're feeling better. Glad the team's feeling better.
Sounds good, Brady. I appreciate it.
All right, Coach. That's UNC Bears head coach Steve Smiley. And, came down with COVID. They had a situation there. It was a weird deal with Northern Arizona. I'm not going to get into too many details there, but it was weird with Northern Arizona. Probably shouldn't have played that game with the way things have been going. But they played that first game, and then the very next game was canceled, and suddenly the Bears are in trouble. So it was a tough deal. But getting the Bears back in, had to ask, even though it didn't seem that logical. But then again, I mean, look what – this is what's weird about the Mountain West. They're playing – they're going to basically, the Rams are going to play every other game, every other day. They're going to play Saturday. They're going to play Monday. They're going to play Wednesday. And they're going to play Friday. So had to ask, man, when you look at these schedules. But the Bears set to play against Portland State. That'll be right here on 1310 KFKA. 12 o'clock coverage starts at 11:30. And then they'll play next Thursday, the 4th of March, and the following Saturday. And that'll wrap up the regular season. And then we'll jump into the Big Sky Tournament where, if the Bears can catch fire, man, if they can get hot, they could be they could run this thing. They could go. I'll be curious to see, man. It's a young group still trying to develop. They have some vets for sure, but still trying to develop. I go back way back at the beginning of the season, and they battled it out with a team like Utah State. I mean, Utah State, we've talked about being on the bubble, a team that could potentially get into March Madness. Just remember, UNC was right there and ended up losing by 13, but it was a tight game. So I think that that kind of shows you what this Bears team can do. But you've also seen some games where you're going, man, they should be able to win those games, right? They should be able to take that. We'll see. Finding out, you know, getting this team back in the groove this week has been important. And we do appreciate Coach Smiley jumping in. All right, we'll take a quick break here. It was a crazy night last night, though. You had UNC beating Portland State. My Thursday night special was a rough one, Colfax. Boise State sent it to overtime. I think San Diego State showed some holes there, but Boise State couldn't get the job done. That was a crazy game. The Buffs destroyed USC. Buffs are in, no doubt about it. They're moving up. Will it do anything in the rankings? We'll see. And the Nuggets. Oh, boy. We'll talk about that final play and what is going on. What's happening? Our first poll question, Power to Play Sports poll question, was, should the Nuggets trade Michael Porter Jr.? Do you just think it's not going to work here with Mike Malone and this group? It was one-sided. Basically, everybody's saying no. So we changed it. Kyrie Irving's one is pretty adamant about changing the NBA logo to a Kobe Bryant silhouette. Should the NBA change its logo to a Kobe Bryant image? Yes, no, leave it alone. Or if you're going to change it, you got to put Michael Jordan on there. We'll be right back.
Think your bracket can win it all? Join the Hull Show's Bracket Challenge and hear the latest in hoops on 1310 KFKA. What's happening in your own backyard? Listen to NoCo Now with Tanner Schwint on Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFKA.
This is Ed Werder, NFL reporter for ESPN and a 1982 graduate of the University of Northern Colorado. Hope you'll continue to listen to the award-winning Hull Show, 1310 KFKA.
Easy inbounds play for Northern Colorado is a little confusion there defensively. Now Matt Johnson the second with eight. He wants to penetrate. Matt Johnson the second. Pull up jumper. Matty Ice with 3.4 to play. Gets it. 66-64 and a timeout whistled by Barrett Peary.
There it is. Jason Alvine with the call right here on 1310 KFKA last night. Matt Johnson, Matty Ice. There's a new Matty Ice in Northern Colorado, or at least in town. 10 points for Johnson, but man, you make the last second shot, pretty much last second shot, and you walk away with this one. That would have been a devastating loss, but it was really good to see UNC back in action. Congrats. I love watching. Well, I'm a big fan of all these guys. Dalen Kuntz had a nice game. 19 points, three boards. Bodie Hume back in action. He didn't play Monday. He had 13 points, seven boards. And then Kurjoe Kuch. I love watching him. I love his story, if you're not familiar with it. We're going to try to get him on probably in the off season. Would love to have his story documented here on the show, man. I mean, it's really cool, but you could look it up. Kurjoe Kuch is a sensational guy. 11 points, 15 boards. As Coach Smiley said, it's probably his best game he's ever had with us. So pretty cool to see that one. First Advantage text line, 970-478-1301. All right, Colfax. Kyrie Irving pretty adamant about the NBA changing its logo to a Kobe Bryant silhouette. And again, there's other controversy behind his statement. He basically said black kings built the NBA. I don't know why we have to get into this, like where it's just an uncomfortable conversation. This was a conversation we've had on the show before. Should the NBA change its logo? And it never had anything to do with race or politics. Now, suddenly, Kyrie Irving has made it about race, whatever. Jerry West, that's the guy, the infamous silhouette on the NBA. And he said it millions of times now. It's like, I don't really like drawing attention to myself, so I wish they'd change it. Here it is. I get why some people talk about Kobe Bryant because of the way he passed away. If he didn't pass away, but you're going to go Jordan if you're going to change the NBA logo. If you're going to change it to another silhouette of a person, it's going to be Jordan. But I understand that Kobe meant so much to the game, and then when he passed, it was so devastating. I get that. I really, really do. Our poll question, our Power to Play Sports poll question is up at thewholeshow.com. Here's the options. Yes or no, leave it alone. Or if you're going to change it, which you might go with, you got to go with MPJ. I didn't throw anybody else's name in there. Because if you're going to change the logo, this is it. You go with Michael Jordan. I'm kind of at this point now where, since it is a big discussion about Kobe, I would just leave it alone because I think that would be a weird look. And, you know, somebody brought this up. Jordan owns a basketball team. He owns an NBA team. So would it be a little weird that an owner of a team is also the logo of the – so maybe if you're going to make that change, you wait until he's done. What do you think? Leave it alone?
Yeah, I think leave it alone. I remember having this discussion last year.
Yeah, we've done it before, yeah.
And I think we had it shortly – probably about a year ago. I think you just leave it alone at this point.
Yeah.
I mean, last year I think I was a little more adamant on, yeah, honor Kobe, do it up. Like, that makes perfect sense. But a year removed, I think there's better ways to honor Kobe Bryant and his legacy as a great basketball player. I don't think that does it.
And teams honor him a lot.
Exactly.
I mean, everybody honors him all the time. I'm just more or less like, okay, I mean, if I'm going to make a logo of someone, and Jerry West was the stud at that time. If I'm going to make a logo of someone on my league, like you are representing now the league for life, I think I'm going to go with someone that, I mean, Michael Jordan, Colfax, ask most people, I would say out of 10 people, 8 out of 10 would say Jordan's the most popular sports figure in the country for sure, but if maybe the world. Kobe... you know me. I've always said Kobe, I think, is probably the second best player of all time. And I got the joy of watching Kobe when I understood basketball. Jordan, I was kind of still pretty young, but I knew what the hell was going on a little bit. Jordan changed the game. I mean, he made the NBA really, really fun. I mean, the Pistons were the bad boys, but when Jordan came in, that rivalry kind of started, and suddenly it's like, well, basketball's kind of got this WWF-type thing going on, man. This is kind of nasty. And then the Rodman stories, and then, of course, they made it a documentary. And I'm not saying Kobe doesn't deserve a documentary, but there's Michael Jordan, there's Tiger Woods, there's names. Like, Tom Brady, as great as he is, Colfax, he's not in the same conversation as Tiger Woods, Michael Jordan. And that's because of the sport. Football lends itself to more superstars doing big things, plus because of the positions, really. Yeah. Golf is like Tiger Woods, man. I mean, he made golf something again. I mean, he did. I mean, Jordan, the NBA was popular kind of in the 80s, but whatever. It was starting to take a big time back seat. And when Jordan came along, larger than life.
Changes everything.
Everything. Nobody else starred in Space Jam. It's Michael Jordan. So, I mean, again, if you're having that conversation, you're gonna go through that process of changing a logo. I mean, that's a huge change, and it's not like a disrespect to Kobe, not at all. But I don't know why, because Kyrie Irving tweeted, and Kyrie's like very controversial now. Like everything he does is controversial. He tweeted, "Gotta go. I don't care. Gotta happen. Excuse me. I don't care what anyone says." And then all caps, "Black Kings built the league." So I mean, is it a black thing, or is it an honor? A person thing, a Kobe thing, because I'd rather it be a Kobe. I honestly think that you do a disservice to him by making it a black thing. Oh, there's a white man that's on the silhouette, but it's black guys that make the league. What the hell are we doing here, man? I mean, so I read that tweet and I'm just like, you just lost me. Yep. I'm willing to have that conversation because I think it's a worthwhile conversation. Kobe is one of the greatest players of all time. And one of the most storied franchises of all time. But you're going to lose me pretty quick when that's one of the reasons. You'd rather a black man be on the cover than a white man. I mean, what are we doing here? If the roles reverse and somebody said that, that's a tough thing to swallow, man. That's a tough thing to hear. He doubled down on it. He said, "I want that to be something in history that has changed forever, that our generation was a part of that change. And if that means that I have to lead that forward and get the conversation going, then great." Bad news, any of you that are voting yes on this, if Kyrie Irving's leading the brigade to make this happen, ain't going to happen. I mean, that's just the way it's going to. I mean, Kyrie Irving is just, he's got some stuff going on, man. So I don't know. Power to Play Sports poll question is up. Check it out. Let me know what you think. I think at this stage, you just leave it alone.
Leave it.
I used to think go with Jordan because that jumping man logo. I mean, that was the biggest thing. 50% of the Hooligans say yes. Wow. 30% say if you're going to change it, go with MJ. And then 20% say just leave it alone. Hmm. All right, go vote. Let us know what you think. We're going to take a break here, Colfax. We're going to get Harrison Wind on from DNVR Nuggets in just a moment. First, let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
Hear Mornings with Gail, weekdays 6 to 9 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFKA.
Hey, what's going on? This is Justin Adams with CBS 4 down in Denver, Colorado, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
Just 39 minutes after the hour. Welcome back. We're live from the Auto Collision Specialist Studios. Joining us on our First Advantage Hotline, Harrison Wind of DNVR Nuggets. Harrison, man, appreciate it. First time we're getting you on the show, man, but a big follower of your stuff. Love what you do, and glad you could make some time for us today, man.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, Brady. Anytime.
All right, so, well, we got to get to the big one. The ending of that game last night. Jamal Murray tweets out that it was his fault. I'm reading, I'm going, man, somebody's got to cut to the basket, man. I mean, I know it's never as obvious as it seems, Harrison, but isn't that one of those where it's like, what is going on here?
Oh, you're exactly right. I mean, this was an epic failure. I mean, this is basic basketball. It's a 3-on-1 fast break. 10 times out of 10. This should be a layup or a dunk with the closest defender, you know, not within 20 feet, which is what should have happened here. I commend Jamal Murray for taking the blame. And look, you could say, yeah, if he stops his dribble there, he should probably pull up for three. But, I mean, he even said it post-game while taking the blame. Somebody should have cut to the hoop, and it probably should have been Michael Porter Jr. So I commend him for taking the blame, but I don't think he's most at fault there.
Yeah, I'm with you. I kind of gained a little more respect because I think he's trying to take the leadership role, and I do like that. But at the same, yeah, I mean, and you're looking at Composito, you're looking at Morris. Okay, they could go, but no, you want your guy on the far opposite side, the guy that's going to dunk it, right? I mean, at the end of the day, nobody's going to have a random shot at blocking it. You want a sure thing, and oh, that was frustrating, my man.
It certainly was, and Jamal said it after the game. He thought Mike was going to cut, and you can even see it on the video. If you slow it down, you can see Murray kind of make eye contact with Michael Porter Jr., so he was definitely expecting it, and I mean, he's the first one down the floor. He's the one who should be cutting to the hoop in that situation for sure.
Yeah, Coach Malone talked about it as well. He didn't pull any punches. Harrison, I like watching Michael Porter. I really do. I think he has so much upside, but it just seems like more often than not, there's just these head-scratching moments where I just wonder about his, you know, the mental side of the game. I mean, that one is an obvious one. Defensively, I think he's gotten a little better, but there's so many obvious glaring holes. It leaves a lot of fans to wonder, is Porter going to get it right? Because physically, he's got the right tools, but what about mentally?
Yes, the big question. And defensively, I think he's really taken some nice steps this season. He still has a long way to go, but particularly over the last week, I feel like he's played some pretty good defensive games, including last night, except for a couple possessions here and there. But for some guys, the mental part of the game takes the longest. And look, he's a guy who's, I think, just crossed like the 82 games played mark, so he's pretty much played just one full season, and it's a long process. So I'm with you. That's probably my biggest worry about him right now, is just from like a basketball IQ standpoint, can he make the plays this season? Because Denver's going to be counting on him, I think, to be on the floor in key moments in playoff games. Is he going to be able to make the top elite basketball IQ plays that Denver's going to need him to? It's one of the big questions with him.
Harrison Wynn joining us from DNVR Nuggets. And I didn't catch it. I heard Murray's postgame. I heard Coach Malone's postgame. Did Michael Porter talk much about that final play?
He did. He said, you know, after reviewing the play, we definitely should have gotten a layup out of it. So he thought he should cut to the rim. But he also said that he was thinking in the back of his head in real time, hey, let's get a three-pointer here, and let's not take the game to overtime. Let's just win it. Mm. So in real time, he was thinking three. And he did say, like, after going back and reviewing it, yeah, I should go in and I should have gotten a dunk out of it. He also said, you know, he's taught on a fast break, if he's the first guy down, to run to the corner. And, like, yeah, that is correct. Like, you are taught in the NBA. If you run down on a fast break, run to the corner, get a corner three. Obviously, those rules are amended in an end-of-game scenario when there's nobody standing under the hoop, and a dunk sends the game to overtime. So I guess he's right and wrong about that.
I guess I'd rather him say that he wanted to win the game rather than just, you know, I didn't know what to, you know, even though that was the wrong thing either way, but I'd rather him at least say, no, I was thinking win, rather than just, I didn't know where I was on the floor.
yeah, exactly. And I mean, look, if the ball was swung to Porter, like, I'm probably living with a corner three, you know, for him. That's not the worst outcome in the world. That's probably like he makes that at least 50% of the time, a wide open corner three. The problem is they got the absolute worst outcome they could have asked for on that possession. Like, I'm taking a Jamal Murray contested three or a Monte Morris contested three over a Fox Camposo three from above the break. And he has shot the ball pretty well from three this year. I think he's at like 37.5%, but he's only really made threes from the corners. He's been terrible on three-pointers, not in the corners. So it was a low percentage shot and really like the worst outcome that Denver could hope for there.
I had to rewind it like six times because I was like, how did they have three on one? What happened there? And then it was exactly what we thought. And that first glimpse, it was just a botched play ultimately. And yeah, if Porter cuts to the basket, we're going to overtime. And who knows? Maybe you and I are talking about a win today. Washington's a deceptive team, Harrison. Their record doesn't show it, but they've won, what, six out of their last seven? And they've all been against pretty good teams. Nuggets twice, I think the Celtics, Lakers, Portland's in there. So Washington's kind of that deceptive, sneaky team that's probably going to find themselves in the playoffs if they don't do any big moves before the trade deadline.
Yeah, they've been hot. They've been hot for sure. They beat Portland. They beat the Clippers, played the Lakers pretty tight the other night. But the other side of the coin is, like, they were without Davis Bertans last night, who absolutely lit the Nuggets up in that first meeting last week. But look, they play hard. Russell Westbrook, who was so unimpressive for a lot of that game last night at some big moments when it counted. And look, it's just another bad loss for Denver. And the Nuggets have a bunch of those this season.
Yeah.
To the Wizards twice, to the Kings three times, to the Hawks. Like, those are all potential fringe or teams that are going to miss out on the playoffs that Denver's lost to.
When do you start having two conversations. When do you start pressing the panic button on this team? Because we all had pretty high expectations, or at least I did. And then the other thing is when you look around, I know it's not even close to the same thing, but the Rockies just shipped out Nolan Arenado. He was frustrated with the way things were building around him. When does Nikola Jokic look around and wonder about the structure of this team? So two-part question there for you, Harrison.
Oh, with the Jokic part, I don't think that's something people or fans or really anybody has to worry about. He's going to be here for the long haul, I think. So I don't think that's going to be something to really worry about going forward. In terms of pressing the panic button, look, Denver's had a lot of injuries. I know it's an easy excuse, but they really just have. Like, Paul Millsap, Jamichael Green, Gary Harris, PJ Dozier, these guys have all missed a lot of time. I've been hearing P.J. Dozier is close to getting back. And, look, you can make an argument he's Denver's best perimeter defender. And that was another thing last night and has been a theme as of late. Like, the Nuggets' defense has been so inconsistent. They are the worst team at defending in the restricted area this season. Opponents are shooting, like, 70%, which is the highest mark in the league by far, at the rim against the Nuggets because they don't really have a rim protector. But the bigger issue is their guards can't really stop dribble penetration. So I really think the injuries are a big deal. I'm not pressing the panic button yet. I think they need to get to the All-Star break, get healthy, and then see what a fully healthy roster looks like for a week or two after the All-Star break before we get to the trade deadline.
Yeah, I tend to agree. It's been a weird season, and just getting to that All-Star break, maybe recharge. Last one for you, going back to Michael Porter Jr. I know there's always been, you know, everyone wonders, is the chemistry there? Does he work well with Joker? Does he get along with Coach Malone? What's that relationship like, at least from what you've seen, Harrison? And is there anything to lead you to believe that Porter isn't going to be a long-term Nugget?
I think his relationship with Jokic, and I've actually asked Porter about this before, like a couple weeks ago, Jokic has always recognized Michael Porter's talent. He recognizes him as this uber-talented guy. But the thing about Porter is he's always been like this number one option, who always has the ball in his hands, who's always the number one primary scoring option. And look, it's been no secret that him adjusting to being the third or the fourth option when he's on the floor, like, that's tough for him. And I think that's the reason why you see him floating a lot on offense. And really not, you know, getting the ball probably as much as he should because he's just not used to playing off the ball. And it's just been a massive adjustment for him. But I think Jokic definitely recognizes his talent. Those two have shown some signs of developing a chemistry. And with Michael Malone, Denver's coach recognizes the talent too. He said so. So I think Denver wants long-term to make this work. They would love to, just based on how much work they've put into getting Michael Porter Jr. to this point. They want this to be their core moving forward. I think they're going to really try to ride it out this season and try to get it to work.
Harrison had to kind of talk me off the ledge a little bit after that 3-1 closing play there, man. Harrison, what are you working on for us that we can check out at DNVR Nuggets, man?
Yeah, well, this week, as always, we'll have the post game show live from the DNVR bar. Nuggets are on the road, so we'll all be there breaking out of the game after everyone. You know, next up Sunday in Oklahoma City. So just follow our YouTube page, the DNVR YouTube page on Twitter as well. We'll be breaking it down, the pregame show and the postgame show.
I love it. Love what you guys do. And let's not make this the last time we do this, man. We'd love to have you on more on a regular basis.
Yeah, for sure, Brady. Anytime, man.
All right. Harrison Wind, DNVR Nuggets. Great stuff from him. And all right, he kind of calmed me down a little bit. You know, I wanted to get his take because he can be critical. And I wanted to get his take. I follow his stuff. He's saying, all right, just that's a good point, Colfax. Something I latched on there about Michael Porter Jr. Let's recap that interview coming back. More on the Denver Nuggets, more on a wild Thursday. We're also going to get Kevin Lytle on the Fort Collins from the Fort Collins, Colorado. And what did Coach Addazio say about the quarterback position that has me scratching my head? I do it a lot, but it's, you know, I'm scratching it pretty hard. I'm creating a bald spot. We'll be right back. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy live from the Auto Collision Specialist Studios.
We have the games. Go to 1310kfk.com to see our preps, college, and pro game schedules on Northern Colorado's Voice. 1310KFK. It's a party in Northern Colorado's Voice. 1310KFK. The Block Party, Wednesdays from 4 to 10 p.m.
This is Miles Blumhart, sports editor at the Fort Collins Coloradoan, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310KFKA.
56 minutes after the hour, or 4 minutes until the 1 o'clock hour. Colfax, we got our first review coming up, our whole review. Threw you off there, didn't I?
Scaring me.
If ever I signal Colfax, he thinks I'm like signaling him to play a clip that we've put together.
Gives me a heart attack sometimes.
It does. You're like, wait, what? Because a lot of times I'll tell Cole I'm going to play something in this segment, in a certain segment, and then we'll go like almost the full hour, and I'll go, hey, Jamal Murray did this last night, and then Colfax will then be like, go, wah! You know, he knows. I got a blueprint here of the show of how it's supposed to go, but rarely does it ever follow.
Keep me on my toes.
Yeah, that's what I got to do. But are you pumped for the review today? The whole review.
I am super pumped.
Give me a good time. We'll get the video out in a couple weeks, but
I think it's like a cocktail, but I think I'm going to get like a Manhattan or something fancy.
Oh, yeah,
like,
I'm getting something fancy.
I can't wait.
Although I'm probably going to get like a gourmet hot dog to go along with that fancy drink. I'm going to ask for the best thing they have. Like, what is your most popular dish? And then we're reviewing it. We're breaking it down. All right, second hour coming up. We got a lot to talk about. Kevin Lytle will join me as well. What's Steve Addazio think about the quarterback position? We'll be right back.